give your prospects a compelling reason why they should choose your company over all your competitors. The most compelling reason for doing business with you that you can give a prospect is information that makes a superior case for your product or company. But this is not the kind of information you probably think it is, or at least it isn't structured the way you think it is. Instead of focusing on you, your company, or your product, you need to state all your information in terms of what it will do for your customer, how it will help them, solve their problem, make their lives easier, and make their lives better. Now I'm going to repeat that last sentence, how it will help them, solve their problem, make their lives easier, or make their lives better. The reason I repeated it is it's the driving force of all successful marketing. If you can create marketing that effectively communicates these points, you'll be able to attract more business than you ever dreamed of. Show your customers what's in it for them. Show that you understand them and can solve their problems. Show in your copy that the bottom line is that their lives will be easier or better by doing business with you. This kind of copy will leave your competitors wondering what hit them. 5, if possible, offer something for free in your ad. Almost any business can offer something for free to their customers. A free consultation, free report, free gift, or free review can have a powerful impact on getting you new customers. A dry cleaner can offer to clean one blouse or shirt free for new customers. An ice cream shop can give away a free cone. Most customers will buy something else or bring someone with them when they come by your store. Your cost of providing something for free is minimal when you realize you're acquiring customers who will do business with you for many years to come. Accountants can offer a free one-hour tax review. Lawyers can offer a free consultation. Dentists might offer free x-rays. If these services result in just a 5% increase in business, you'll cover your costs many times over. Nearly any business can make use of free reports to motivate customers. I like a list format for reports. It makes it very easy to organize and write your report. Restaurants could put together dozens of booklets based on recipe themes. Here are just a few ideas. 10 great chicken recipes that are healthy and can stretch your budget. 12 great international recipes. 15 favorite recipes from our regular customers. 10 simple, inexpensive, and elegant desserts. Drugstores can offer 6 ways to keep your prescription costs down. Attorneys could use 5 points to determine when you need an attorney and 4 points to determine when you don't. It doesn't matter what business you're in, you can easily come up with a long list of reports you could give away free. Free reports are easy and inexpensive to produce. They have a high perceived value and build your credibility both as an expert and someone who cares about their customers. That's a load of benefits to gain from giving away a few sheets of paper. 6, make your ad look different than all of your competitors' ads. Very often when you're creating a space ad that will run in a newspaper or magazine, it's a good idea to make it look like editorial material, to make it blend into the rest of the paper or magazine. There's a good reason for this. You see, people buy magazines for the articles, not for the advertising. In fact, many people avoid all of the ads, but nobody avoids the articles. So if your ad looks like an article, you stand a good chance of picking up extra readers. However, that same rule does not apply to Yellow Pages ads, because your readers' motives are just the opposite. They've gone straight to the Yellow Pages because they're ready to buy and they want to read your ad. Now, the best way to take advantage of this is to make your ad stand out from all the rest. That way, your ad will seem to jump off the page and seize your reader's attention. Fortunately for you, nearly every ad in the Yellow Pages looks just like all the others, so the task of making yours stand out is a piece of cake. An extremely simple and highly effective way to make your ad stand out is to put a solid line at least 1/16 of an inch thick around the entire ad. This neat little trick will really make your ad pop. Now, I want to caution you not to get overly creative here. You don't want your ad to look cute, clever, or trendy. What you want is to make it clearly stand out from all the others. I recommend that you make your ad look similar to a magazine or newspaper article. Set headlines and subheaders in bold type. Set your type in fairly narrow columns. This format fits perfectly with the type of useful information you're trying to give your client. Remember, it's a piece of cake to make your ad stand out in a sea of lookalikes, and doing so will get your ad read more often by more readers. Putting it all together. All right, you've found out what frame of mind your customers are in. You've also learned the 6 steps for creating Yellow Pages ads that will cream your competition. But my job isn't done yet. I still need to show you, to demonstrate beyond a shadow of a doubt, precisely what you need to do to pull all of these elements together. So here goes. At the back of this chapter, in example 17.1, I've taken a page of typical ads from an actual Yellow Pages book. If you would look at it, here's what you'd see. Remember, I pulled this page of Yellow Pages ads randomly from my phone book. Now, is there anything remarkable about these ads? Absolutely not. They all look reasonably alike and sound and feel nearly identical. None of them do much of anything to motivate you to do business with these companies. What should you do to create an ad that will decimate these ads? I'm glad you've asked. Now, you should know that the page I pulled from the Yellow Pages was ads that were all for hair salons. I'm now going to write an ad that I've written that could quite possibly put these other hair salons out of business. You'll find it in example 17.2 at the end of this chapter. By the way, this ad is the same size as all the other ads, 1/4 of a page, and it has a thick 1/16 inch black line all the way around the outside border. 5 key points for making sure you get a great haircut. 1. A great haircut depends on a style that's right for you. The shape of your face, your colors, the length and texture of your hair are all qualities that help determine what style will bring out the best in you. For your convenience, we have full color catalogs showing all of the latest styles as well as traditional styles. We'll be happy to go through them with you and help you pick the perfect style. 2. The stylist must thoroughly understand how to work with your particular hair texture. There are many different hair textures, and your hair may be a combination of different textures. In order to get the best possible haircut, you need a trained hair care specialist who can recognize and work with all hair textures. Our highly skilled hairstylists all have a minimum of 5 years experience. We don't hire or use any training. 3. If your hair needs coloring, just a subtle difference can be tremendously important. When your hair needs coloring, subtle differences can determine whether you'll look smashing or be disappointed. Selection of the correct color for you, as well as proper application of coloring agents, can make an unbelievable difference. Our experienced colorists do nothing but coloring. They don't cut, style, or anything else. We have colorists exclusively and bring you the finest skills available for this demanding and delicate area of hair care. 4. Your hairstylist must be trained properly. As we said earlier, we don't hire trainees. All of our operators have a minimum of 5 years experience. In addition, each operator must spend at least 20 training hours annually at the Precision Hair Center, the foremost training institute in the state. 5. To get a truly great haircut, your stylist must take their time. Most salons book an appointment every half hour. This forces the stylist to rush through your cut and sacrifice quality. We book all our appointments for a full hour. This allows your stylist the time it really takes to listen to your needs, help you select a terrific style, and cut your hair properly. Now that you know what it really takes to get a great haircut, shouldn't you make an appointment at the Select Salon today? On your first appointment, you'll receive a complimentary hairstyling evaluation and a packet of valuable, useful products absolutely free. Select Salon, 818-555-1234. 264 Main Street, Los Angeles. Do you understand the difference between my ad and the typical Yellow Pages ad? The reason you do is because my ad includes all 6 points for writing Yellow Pages ad that will get maximum results. First, it starts with a headline that tells the reader there's valuable information for them in the ad. Then it proceeds to deliver that information in an educational and persuasive manner. In actuality, this information is providing a number of convincing reasons why the customer should do business with you. The ad has a personal feel, as if you're speaking directly to the customer and you understand their problems and concerns. By the way, I can't vouch for the accuracy of this particular information. I just made it up as an example of what a powerful ad should look and sound like. I really have no idea whether these are the factors that are important to someone looking for a great haircut. Next, we offer all new customers a free analysis of their styling needs. This should help get even more people in the door. And finally, our ad looks much different than all of the competition. It's set in a columnar format and has a bold black line around it to make it really pop off the page. To prove my point, you'll want to take a look at example 17.3 at the end of this chapter. Voila, that would be your finished result. When you take a look at that example, you'll see how my ad really stands out against three other typical ads. So the first advantage you gain is making sure that your ad gets noticed and gets read. After that, the copy gives several compelling reasons why the customer will benefit by doing business with you. Then it follows through by offering an additional free bonus for their first visit. This is a solid combination that will absolutely blow your competitors away. Conclusion, you are now a Yellow Pages expert. You may think I'm kidding, but I'm not. You now know more than 99% of your competition knows about how to write a Yellow Pages ad that pulls like crazy. You also know more than 99% of the so-called top advertising agencies in the country. If you need proof, just thumb through your own Yellow Pages. You'll see that all of the ads for small to medium-sized businesses look, sound, and feel exactly the same. Look at the ads for the big, established corporations. There's nothing distinct about any of them, and these were most likely written by the largest ad agencies in town. Actually, it's quite fortunate for you that not one out of 100 businesses has even a remote inkling about what you've just learned. Because now that you have this knowledge, you can go out and use it to gain a powerful advantage. You can write a Yellow Pages ad that will leave all your competitors in the dust. Chapter 18, Silence is Not Golden, or How to Use Telemarketing to Reap Tremendous Profits. Your telephone can be a powerful sales tool or just a device that's used for conducting nothing more than the minimum of necessary communication. The problem is, most businesses take their telephones totally for granted. They use them to answer incoming calls, order supplies, talk to their bank, and so on. All the while, they're missing out on tremendous profit opportunities. Your phone is one of the most powerful and most overlooked assets you own. With a few very simple telemarketing techniques, you can turn your phone into a direct pipeline to your cash register. Now, I'm not talking about setting up a boiler room and having your operators call all over town, interrupting people's dinner to make some fast-talking sales pitch. What I'm talking about is adding three simple yet extremely profitable twists to what you say to your customers who are already calling you. What I'm about to show you could possibly be the easiest way you'll ever find to significantly increase your sales and profits. how to turn an ordinary telephone into a powerful money-making device. What does a typical telephone conversation with one of your customers sound like? I'll bet it goes something like this. You. Hello? Customer. Hello, is this Acme Lamb Blasters? You. Yes. Customer. Do you carry the 4-cycle Wham Blaster Deluxe in navy blue? You. Just a minute. Let me check. You put the customer on hold, and if they're lucky, you eventually return to the phone. Yeah, we've got one. Customer. Okay, thanks. How late are you open? You. Till 5. Customer. Thanks. Click. They hang up. This is a pretty typical conversation. I've heard better, and I've heard worse. But the point is, most conversations follow this pattern. And you know what the result is? Suicide. Pure financial suicide. While you might not have irritated or offended your customer, you did absolutely nothing to make certain that they would come into your store. Nothing to make certain that they would buy a single thing from you. Let's look at what went wrong here, why your communication failed, and what you can do to turn this financial disaster around. Your first mistake is that you didn't make it easy for the customer to do business with your company. You didn't make it at all inviting to the customer. You didn't make it seem pleasurable to do business with you. Telemarketing secret number one. All of your conversations with your customers must be friendly and upbeat. They must show your customers that doing business with your company is a pleasurable experience. Let's modify the script slightly and see how it achieves your goal. You. Good afternoon. Acme Wham Blasters. How may I help you? Customer. Do you carry the 4-cycle Wham Blaster Deluxe in navy blue? You. Yes, we do. Let me check for you to make sure it's in stock. But we're a little busy right now, so it might take me a minute, but I'll be back with you as quickly as I can. Customer. Okay. You. We do have the navy blue Wham Blaster in stock. Would you like me to put one aside for you? Do you see the difference a few slight changes make? First, you greet the customer in a friendly way, letting them know that they've actually reached the store they were calling. The entire tone of the conversation is responsive and helpful. Most importantly, what you've done is shift the burden of communication from your customer to yourself. You've made it easy for them to get what they need. All right, now we're starting to get somewhere, but you still haven't made certain that your customer comes in, and comes in right away, to do business with you. Here's what you need to do to achieve this. Telemarketing secret number two. You must give your customer a powerful incentive to make sure they come into your business right away. Here's how this is done. Customer. Okay, how late are you open? You. We're open till 5 today. Customer. Great, thanks. You. Oh, by the way, we have a special offer just for today's callers. Would you like to hear about it? Customer. Sure. You. Great. Any caller who comes in today or by noon tomorrow will be given a discount coupon good for 5% off anything in our store. Would you like me to reserve a coupon in your name? Do you realize what you've just done? Blam! You've shot them right between the eyes. Or better yet, you shot them right in the wallet. What you've done is issue a strong call to action. You've let your customer know with absolute certainty that there's really something in it for them if they do business with you. And let me tell you, not one out of 100 businesses does this. Probably not one out of 1,000. But we're still not through yet. There's still something left to accomplish. Can you guess what this is? We want to throw on a little more icing and try to increase the amount of the sale at the same time. Here's how you do just that. Customer. Sure, I'd like a coupon. My name is Ed Smith. You. Super, Mr. Smith. I've set aside a coupon in your name. Oh, and one more thing. There's a great sale right now on tuning kits for all Wham Blaster models. You might want to check this out when you come in for your coupon. Customer. All right, I'll do that. You. Great. Thanks for calling us today. another bullseye. In one lightning-quick maneuver, you've just scored two vital points. First, you've underscored that your company really goes the extra mile in your customer's mind by letting them know about an additional savings on an item they're highly likely to be interested in. Second, you've primed them for potentially spending more than they originally intended. By setting the stage to upsell them to include a tuning kit, as well as the item they were originally asking about, you stand a good chance of increasing their purchase amount. By the way, you should always have a special sales item to upsell your customers. The key to successful upselling is that the customer is only entitled to the special discount once they've already purchased something else from you at full price. That's how you give paying customers a powerful incentive to increase the amount of their purchase on the spot. Also, the item you offer as an upsell doesn't necessarily have to be related to whatever the customer has already purchased. It simply has to be an item that appeals to a broad range of your customers. The amount you discount the item depends on how much profit is built into the item itself. Discounts between 10 and 20% generally get the best results. Conclusion. In just a few pages, you've started on your way towards becoming a master telemarketer. As you can see, it's remarkably easy. These three techniques are as close to no-brainers as you can get. All you have to do is plug them in and reap the benefits. Now you know precisely what it takes to turn an ordinary telephone conversation into a profit-making communication. Chapter 19, Post-Purchase Reassurance. How to dramatically reduce refunds and returns. Refund requests and return merchandise are a tremendous waste of your company's time, effort, and money. Every company encounters this problem to some degree or another, but few companies do anything about it. Few companies do anything to reduce the number of refund requests they receive or cut down on the amount of merchandise returned by their customers. Most companies seem to accept refunds and return merchandise as part of their cost of doing business. They act as if there's nothing they can do to stem this costly problem. The truth is, there's plenty you can do to significantly reduce refunds and returns. And the solution is remarkably simple. The problem is, you just haven't learned what you need to do to put a stop to refunds and returns. But now you will. In this chapter, I'll show you precisely what you need to know to dramatically reduce the number of requests for refunds you receive and the amount of merchandise returned by your customers. I'll start by demonstrating exactly why refunds and returns occur, even in the best of businesses. Once you've learned why this financially damaging situation occurs, I'll show you a remarkably simple way to put an end to it. I'll give you step-by-step instructions for what to do, and a working example that will show you how easy this technique is and how effective it can be. What causes customers to request refunds and return merchandise? As I've been known to do before, I'm going to start this section off with a quick quiz. I'll give you an opportunity to act as marketing guru. First, put on your marketing guru cap. My own MG cap is made from an old cylindrical oatmeal carton with feathers glued to the sides and a hunk of old twine to keep it in proper guru-like position. Okay, now that you have your MG cap in place, here's today's question. What single factor is responsible for almost every refund request and nearly every piece of returned merchandise? By the way, this is not a trick question. The answer is incredibly simple. It is also not an essay question. In fact, the correct answer can be stated in just two words. Do you know what the correct answer is? Well, I'll tell you. I won't tell you. Not just yet, that is. I will tell you in a moment, but first I want to tell you what the answer is not. For one thing, it's not faulty merchandise or poor services rendered. Oh, sure, all businesses may encounter their share of these problems, but just a little care and concern can all but eliminate them. In fact, I know of businesses in nearly all sectors who from retail to services to home-based to large mail-order firms that have refund and return rates next to nothing. Next, it is not dishonest customers. Again, every business will occasionally encounter a deadbeat, but for the most part, people are more than satisfied with an honest value for their money. It also is not customers finding a better price somewhere else. While price can be a factor, it's rarely the underlying factor in a customer's refund or return decision. All right then, if it isn't any of the above factors, just what is the one single factor that is responsible for nearly every refund request and nearly every return? Now that I have my marketing guru cap firmly back in place, it has abruptly slipped for a second there, causing a nasty rope burn under my chin. I'll tell you, it is quite simply buyer's remorse. That's right, buyer's remorse. And whether you know it or not, that should send a shiver up your spine, because buyer's remorse is a nasty, rotten reason and a powerful adversary. Here's why. All of the other reasons we mentioned above are practical, logical problems with practical, logical solutions. That makes them very easy to overcome. But buyer's remorse is a nastier problem with a far more difficult solution because it is emotional in nature. So no amount of practical, logical problem solving is going to be effective in combating buyer's remorse. You can argue steadfastly and brilliantly until you're blue in the face, and you still won't be able to turn around someone who's in the emotional grip of buyer's remorse. In order to effectively conquer buyer's remorse, you need a high-powered, emotion-based solution. But that's just one piece of the buyer's remorse puzzle. Another aspect of understanding the potent effects of buyer's remorse is to understand precisely when buyer's remorse occurs. Buyer's remorse strikes your customer the moment the purchase has been completed. As soon as the purchase has been completed, the first minute after cash is transferred hands, buyer's remorse strikes fear into the heart of your customer. Wheels start spinning, warning sirens sound, and powerful strobe lights pulsate in your customer's mind. The profit-killing messages they carry go something like this. Maybe this was a mistake. I don't really need this. I should have shopped around for a longer time. I'll bet I can get it cheaper somewhere else. My friends are going to think I'm an absolute idiot for spending money on this. There's no way this thing will do everything they say it will. I hate the color. It really looks a lot different than it did in the ad. I thought it would be a lot easier to operate. I should take the darn thing back and I'll get my money back. And if they won't give my money back, I'll sue them from here until next Tuesday. I call this the buyer's remorse chorus. And I assure you, it starts the moment the transaction has been completed. And it starts in nearly every customer's mind who does business with you. It starts for two reasons. First, because most customers have been burned in the past, often more than once, so it's only natural for them to have a healthy dose of skepticism. Secondly, it starts because of a bewildering trait of human nature. Most people tend to worry or look for something negative in almost everything they do. Most people look for something to go wrong, even though few of these things they worry about ever actually happen. Studies have determined that 90% of what we worry about never comes to pass, but we continue to worry about anything and everything nonetheless.